send that baby home.
Yeah. She's a sick baby.
Who's hiding behind the chair?
Jan.
Jan.
All right, everybody, shut up. The first thing that happened on the feast of Rosh Hashanah,
the rabbi said, shut up,
is the walls of Jericho tumble.
Oh, we saw that last time.
Right. Yeah. Saw that last time.
Now, Psalm 47 is read in the temple seven times as the priests marched around the altar to indicate, now what are the walls of Jericho? The walls by which you protect yourself and keep you from truly being not alone.
The walls of rebellion.
The walls of rebellion.
Bless you, Rabbi.
Now, as we read the Psalm 47, we're not going to read it seven times because there's too much to do, but I want you to understand that on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, on the feast of Yom Kippur, the cover was taken off so that now there was an opening between you and the Father. On the feast of Rosh Hashanah now, the walls of Jericho fall so that you're no longer separate from the brethren. So that for the first time in your life, you can be one with other people, so that you can be naked and unashamed. You understand? Psalm 47.
Was he circumcised on Yom Kippur?
Huh?
Was he circumcised on Yom Kippur?
No.
Is that even?
No. Doug, read Psalm 47, please.
Yes.
Shut up!
But clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted.
Okay, now, in verse 7 it says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. What it says is, in the Hebrew, it's a bad translation. It says, sing ye praises everyone with understanding.
Everyone who has understanding.
Everyone who has understanding. Now, you can't have understanding without knowing what understanding isn't. You've spent a lifetime in aloneness. You've spent a lifetime hoping that there would be someone that you could commune with. For those of you who are single and some of you who are married, every time you see a member of the opposite sex, you say, is that the one? Is that the one? Now the one that's with you can be the one. The one that's next to you can be the one. The body can be the one because the walls can fall. That's what another, in essence, this is what this feast is about. The falling of the walls of separation. You have nothing again that you ever need to protect. Or maybe for the first time in your life, you can risk exposure, knowing that you're accepted without condition because of what happened in Rosh Hashanah. Aren't you tired of protecting yourself? For lo, these many years you've been leprous. You've had the leprosy of the forehead, which condemned you by the Spirit to a life of total and complete aloneness. You've lived in that darkness. Now the light has shone. The light is come. Not some religious crap. But the true light. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then have we fellowship, because the walls of Jericho have fallen. No more the need for your independent self, defining your independent idolatry. Now you can rest being you. Now, in the temple, on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, who's that?
Jan Kulik.
Jan. Certain things were taking place. Certain psalms were being read. Certain sacrifices were being offered. 12 miles away, in a cave, another event was taking place at the same time. Now that's what I want you to see. It's time for you to come out of the cave. Christ was born in a cave. It was called a manger because that's where they kept the cattle and the sheep and the shit. He was born in the lowest place there is. And He's born in the lowest place in you. Well, tonight is a celebration of the Word made flesh, of the birth of Christ. It's been in you for a long time. Now it's a celebration of the birth of Christ in you made visible. Without apology. Without concern for someone else's response to it. A little bit of understanding?
It's visible first to your understanding.
Amen.
You see that it's all Him.
Amen.
And it's out there.
Now we will proclaim this stuff abroad, and people will be blessed, and people will hear. People will kill us. But we're not proclaiming it for their purpose. We're proclaiming it because we believe. And we believe, therefore we speak. Our essence, because it's now made visible, Our being is no longer controlled like the rest of the world's. We're no longer worrying about someone's response to some appearance or someone's response to what we say. For everything we do in thought, in word, and in deed, i.e. that which is visible, is done as unto the Father and not as unto man. Therefore you're free from the vagaries and the criticisms or whatever of man. Okay, now there were four psalms read. Interestingly enough, Christ, the moon is always symbolic of Israel or the diadem or the hope, because it comes in the blackness. The Feast of Rosh Hashanah always takes place on the new moon, and you can't see the moon. So the only ones that will see it are the ones in the place in which it was born. Christ was born on the feast of New Moon. There was no visible manifestation to anyone else of His birth, except the wise men, which we'll get into later.
the North Star, didn't it appear on the top?
No, it was the star in Coma. That was the Star of Bethlehem, but it appeared before, and that's what they followed. Okay, the four psalms that were read. Well, wait a minute. On every new moon, there was a particular order of sacrifices that was done, because each new moon proclaimed this, each month proclaimed the mystery anew. And then it was celebrated once a year in its totality. Christ was born somewhere between sunset and midnight. We don't know exactly when. But during that course of time, there were particular activities going on in the temple. On every other feast of the new moon, except the real one, which happened on the first day of the month of Tishri, which is the new moon, There was in the evening sacrifice. You remember, always in Hebrew, it goes the evening first and then the day. So there was the evening sacrifice. In the evening sacrifice, there was a sin offering. And on every other day of the world, in the evening sacrifice, there was a sin offering and a trespass offering and a burnt offering and all the various offerings that we've started to study, except on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. On the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, there was a sin offering done the evening in the normal way. But in the morning, there was no sin offering, because a sin offering of the whole world had just been born. There's volumes in rabbinical literature about why that's so. Not one of them has ever seen one.
There's no sin offering, but it was usual every other new moon thing, except on Rosh Hashanah.
There was no sin offering for the morning sacrifice. Isn't that kind of neat?
Yeah. Because the sin offering was manifested elsewhere out of the temple.
So in that evening sacrifice, while the sin offering and the drink offerings were being poured out, Psalm 29 was read. So let's go there. Do you like this kind of stuff?
Yes.
This is the best stuff.
Huh?
This is the best story.
Talmud story.
I like hearing what the priests were doing while something else was
happening. Yeah. Priests were doing stuff in the temple, 12 miles away. The reason for the temple was happening. All right. Psalm 29 was the evening psalm that was done at this point. Okay? Well, actually, I'll give them to you. It was Psalm 29, Psalm 89, Psalm 98. The morning sacrifice, Psalm 81. Psalm 29. Josanna?
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Now stop a minute. At this moment, when this psalm wasn't read until they could see three stars in the heavens, and they could see the way the rabbis did it by the law is they took a scarlet thread, and they went, when they could no longer distinguish that it was scarlet or purple, then it was night. Or that was for, when they could see three stars at the point of the setting sun, then it was night. This is a legal term. So by the time that now they saw that it was night. Now, at this exact time, Mary is 12 miles away in a cave in labor pains. You got it?
So because of the brightness, the first of those three witnesses would have been the Star of Bethlehem.
That's right.
And the three stars were at the point of the setting sun? It's pretty dark then.
It's dark.
All the way to
yeah, the brightest of the first of the witnesses, for those in bananas, you know this, that the first of the witnesses of the three would have been, and I can't, there's probably a really neat thing that I can't figure out yet, but I will. I know one thing, that the brightest of the three witnesses was the star that was in the head of the constellation of Virgo named Coma. And it was the small child sitting on the lap of the mother, of the Virgin. And there was a star in the head, and we know, we can prove that that's the star of Bethlehem.
Directly.
And it was directly over Bethlehem.
You think that was like it went nova or something, or did something wild?
Yeah, it went nova.
Interesting.
So that was the first witness, the star. So they had to see that star before these sacrifices could be done. You got it? A little bit of taste of it?
It happened many years prior, and then it went nova, and then whenever it happened, then they saw it. Is that
well, yeah,
no.
It's like 50,000 light years or something.
It was thousands of light years before.
Yeah, and then they saw it at the time.
It was before, I'll tell you this, it was before the creation of Adam that the star went nova.
Amen.
That's pretty wild.
And then they saw it at the moment.
They saw it at the moment of Christ's birth.
It was finished. The
lamb was slain from before the foundation of the earth.
Try and argue
that. Just saying, start over again.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Okay, now wait a minute. At the same time this is going on, we got to set the scene. Shut up. Just shut up. I'm not going to put up with any of you anymore.
Especially Lewis.
Any of you. Especially Doug.
No, he's being good.
Meaning of life.
Don't piss off the rest.
Three men who are from the particular tribe in Persia that were the priests, the priestly tribe, the learned, who had been studying a book called Zend Avesta for thousands of years. Well, not thousands, from the time of Daniel, who were a member of a religion that was founded by a man named Zoroaster, who was a student of Daniel, the prophet. Holy Book defined that when this particular occurrence took place in the constellation of Virgo of the Decan of Coma, the desired one, then the desired of all nations should appear in the flesh. These three men had been traveling for 1,500 miles on foot by camel because they saw the star that pre-announced the physical birth of Christ. They had walked, these mighty men who were the leaders of an ancient religion that modern Christianity would call pagan, they had walked, struggled, probably sold everything they had to make this trip so that they could present this small babe that was announced in their holy book by the eternal stars, gold, frankincense, and incense. They traveled over 1,000 miles to pay homage to the desired of the nations. And you try to make him a fucking religion. Well, that's going on also. Okay, I'll read again, start over. Well, I gotta talk a little bit every once in a while.
Blessing
of
Rabbi
Oli.
Amen. And they didn't just wander those 1,500 miles.
No, they were directed.
That was great.
They know exactly.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
What's going on?
We're trying to get past verse 2.
Stop. If we read real fast, it makes you interrupt.
I never interrupt.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon.
Okay, what's the cedars? Remember, in the sacrifices of the ashes of the red heifer, for purification and the sacrifices that are necessary for the cleansing of a leper, cedar has to be there. And the reason the cedar is there is because the cedar represents your pride, your haughtiness, thinking that you are above. And you can think you're above all things, either by in truth thinking you're above or saying, oh, poor me. Either one. You still don't understand yet that your shyness is the greatest form of pride because you're afraid you can make a mistake. That's just as bad as being Hitler. Now, as the cedars of Lebanon exalted themselves, they were the tallest trees in that period. As the cedars exalted themselves through their height, it's mixed with something else, the hyssop, which is the smallest of all trees. So you shall be humbled as the smallest of all trees, the hyssop.
They're also the rafters of the covering of the temple made with hands.
Right. Okay.
By breaking the cedars, he not only breaks your pride, but he
breaks the temple.
Yeah, there's no more need for, in other words, Christ, there's no more need for the hyssop, there's no more need for...
Amen. And there's no more need for the temple. Because if the centerpieces of the physical temple made with hands in Jerusalem, that which was the weight-bearing instruments, were made of the cedars of Lebanon. Once he broke them by his birth, it was known... It predicted the destruction of the earthly temple. All this is predicted in this feast of Rosh Hashanah. Got it? Okay.
He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire.
Wait a minute. To skip like a calf, that's a kind of a bad image. I mean, what the hell does that mean? Can you imagine a little calf skipping?
Oh, they're cute. Yeah. They're great.
It's amazing.
They chase butterflies and they're...
Well, but the reason the skipping like a calf means... Well, it's got a lot of imagery, but I want you to imagine the skipping of the as in you as the total abandonment of yourself.
Yeah, calves, I think cows are born at their highest mentally when they're calves, because calves will come to you and see what's going on and do all kinds of stuff, but the cows just...
Cows are dumb.
Is this being a calf like a goat or something too? Could it be a calf of a goat or a calf of a...
I don't know. I haven't looked up that.
Well, they're born in the wintertime, and they're born in a confined place. And when spring comes and they're given freedom and they go out into the field, they run around and kick their heels up and skip. It's the release from the prison.
Right.
The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Okay, now we go to Psalm 89. This is a very long psalm. So, Denise, read 10 verses. Margaret, read 10. And Doug, read 10. And Gary, read the rest. Now remember, there are certain... These psalms are being read while the various sacrifices are being made in the temple, in the altar, on the altar. Okay? So you got... This is all going down on... with all kinds of priests in the temple doing their thing while Christ is being born. I think we can see in a minute the exact moment while the priests were reading these psalms. And they did it by liturgy, but not like our liturgy, like modern religion liturgy. Their liturgy was defined by the stars. So it's... But our liturgy is defined by the impulse of some idiot. But their liturgy was defined by the stars. And so because of that, because as Paul said, the Jews were the oracle people of God, we can reconstruct what was going on at a particular moment while Christ was being born on this feast. So I think we'll be able to see in a minute the exact, what we will see what the priests were doing exactly as Christ breached the womb. Or came out. Okay?
Now, the priests are over here doing stuff, and Christ is coming down the birth canal doing stuff, but Mary
is hurting like hell.
Probably not having labor pains, right?
Mary has big time labor pains.
Oh, God.
Mary's hurting.
She even has a birth of her kind in one of those.
Right, she was a virgin.
In a cave,
lying in a bunch of donkey shit.
13, 14
years old. What? What?
Childbirth talk. Well, I was just thinking about her because it's probably not what she pictured when the angel appeared to her 9 months earlier and said all this wonderful stuff.
No, it didn't appear. No. She, by this time, she had forgotten. The moment she started feeling pain, she forgot all about that friggin' angel. You're right, you understand? Just like you. Stupid. It's good, Butch. Butch gets 12 revelations points for that. Stupid.
Was she rehearsing her
lines? Going. What?
While we're doing, why don't we start the food stuff? Can we all do it up here?
Put the fish in.
How long does the fish take?
Probably, 25 minutes.
Okay, go ahead, Denise.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the heavens.
Now notice something. Mercy there is capitalized. In the Hebrew, at that point, mercy is personalized. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Now, I've got to tell you a brief story. Last night, we watched Green Pastures.
Green
Pastures. And I was in terrible pain. I'd lost the use of my left arm, and I was just in one of those terrible things. And there's this comment that came on about God was in this, it was this black version of the Bible. And God was saying that he didn't understand mercy. And that the only way he could understand mercy was by suffering. And all of a sudden, I understood the reason for the pain that I've had all these years. It's because, and that's, but I want, it's only, but it's not just me, it's each of you. The only reason that you have suffered for anything is to cause you to, it's the digging of the pit so that you will understand mercy. And the deeper that pit is dug, the more, i.e. the more you have suffered, the more you'll be able to help someone else.
And it's this thing we were talking about the other night. It's impossible to suffer as a murderer or an evil
right.
or a busybody.
Right.
You can only suffer
as Christ.
The suffering of Christ.
Amen. You understand me? Well, I was in terror. I mean, I couldn't even, I couldn't move anything, and I was terrible. But it didn't matter, because your capacity to understand mercy is based on suffering. Okay.
I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregations of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are by him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm.
Okay, Rahab is the dragon.
I'm sorry?
The dragon. This Rahab is always symbolic of the world. In our minds, as a group of people, we have seen the world as broken in pieces. There is nothing of value left in the world. That's the first requirement. Got it? Okay, we've seen Rahab broken in pieces. Okay, who's next?
Heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast found.
Okay, the heavens are thine, the earth is thine. There is nothing that has taken place in the earth. Now let's personalize it a minute. There has been nothing that has taken place in your earth that hasn't been exactly ordained to allow you to reach this time. You understand me? So therefore, you can have repentance, i.e. turning from self, without regret. Not the repentance of the world and the bullshit religion, oh, I'm sorry I did this. But the seeing through it to see everything had to be exactly as it was. And I don't care if someone has caused you the worst pain that you can imagine. If it had not happened to you, you could have not reached this point. So you can... To forgive someone means to appreciate them.
Be grateful.
Understand? Now, some of you have a great deal of problem with this because you still think that someone has done something to you. Wrong. Okay.
The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong as thy hand, and high as thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound.
Okay.
They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance.
Stop there a minute. Now we've got the mystery. In the Hebrew, that says, happy are the people that know the sound of the shofar. Now, to know it means not just to hear it, but to understand it. Happy are the people that hear and understand the sound of the shofar, the last trump, the trump of God. You got it? There's a lot of people that hear it. They're blown in every synagogue in the world. Rosh Hashanah was the 24th. We're celebrating it today. But there's thousands and thousands, millions of people that have heard the sound of the shofar every year. But no one understands it. There's many more untold millions, hundreds, billions that have not even heard the sound. Doesn't matter. Time and space are created only for those that hear and understand the sound of the shofar. The ram's horn that's blown on this feast. Everything else is meaningless, a non-event. This is the oldest, or one of the oldest celebrations of, It is the oldest continually held celebration of any in history.
For those who hear and understand, God has moved from the judgment seat to the mercy seat.
Well, we're about to see that. Okay. Not yet, he hadn't.
In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our Lord shall be exalted. The Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him.
This is the moment he came out of the birth canal. Understand? The first thing they did in Jewish births, second thing, they washed him in a salt water compound to get rid of the blood, and then they anointed him or covered him in oil. Then thou speakest in vision to the Holy One and saidest, I have laid up help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I now have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. You understand? Now Christ is born in you. With whom my hand shall be established. Okay, go on. Read 20 again.
I have found David my servant with my holy oil and have anointed him.
Now, you know what anoint means? The word anoint in the Hebrew is the word Hamashiach, or our word Christ. With my holy oil have I Christed him, and him alone. Now can you understand Paul's statement? The mystery that has been hid from all generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay.
With whom thy hand shall be established, thine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Thou wilt beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him.
Now, it didn't look like that. He got crucified. But if he hadn't been crucified, you couldn't have been here. So he went through that. He drank the cup so that you wouldn't have to drink it.
I've got a note here. It says, the enemy shall not exact from him means not only not do violence, but he won't, it's like he won't outsmart him or out trick him or outwit him or something.
Amen.
It's like God outwits the enemy.
Amen. We'll see in 10 days from now, or whatever, when we're going to study it, Yom Kippur, when we study the scapegoat, the ultimate trick of God, how God outsmarted everything. Okay.
But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth.
Now, can you understand? I mean, this is kind of neat stuff. They're reading this exactly while Christ... Now, while they're reading here, this, they're saying, hey, this, it's wild stuff. Higher than the kings of the earth. While they're saying higher than the kings of the earth, to the eye, what they see is a little baby covered in blood and salt water and oil, spanking his bottom, trying to get him to cry so he will breathe. Little, weak, helpless being. Faith sees him as the highest of the high, the King of Kings. Now he's been replicated in you. All right.
My mercy will I keep for him forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever.
Now who is his seed? You. Who are his seed? You. The promises of Abraham go not to the seeds as of many, but to one seed, which is Christ. That's why it's so vital that you stop thinking of yourself and considering yourself as an independent island. You are part of one seed. All that's been happening to you is to try to get you to see that, to test it, to show you that all the rest that you can think of isn't it. Now that tested gold, as John says in the song in the hollow, the tested gold does nothing but shine. All right.
His seed also will, I think, to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven.
Amen.
If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments.
30? Oh. Read, start 30 again.
If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes.
Now stop a minute. That's now the meaning of chastisement. We're all going to screw up. And everything that happens to us that we perceive as negative is simply what? It's simply chastisement. It has nothing to do with punishment. No evil can befall you. That's a loving father showing his son. You know, I've told you this story about the meaning of this is, you know, this little kid, about 4 years old, was walking with his father, and the father kept showing him over and over and over the little rules of safety. And he had his hand in his, and they'd walk to the light, and he'd say, now what does that mean? If it's a red light, and the child said, well, it means to stop, and, you know, on and on and on. So one day the father's going to test him, and he's walking to him, and the kid looks up. I mean, the father looks up, and there's a red light, and he's not going to say anything. He's going to see if the kid learned anything. Well, rather than stop, the kid just keeps on walking with his father. And the father got really pissed. And he said, don't you know I've been telling you, whenever you see that red light, you're supposed to stop and look both ways? And the son looked up at his father with tears in his eyes and said, but Daddy, I know all that. But if my hand is in yours, then nothing evil can befall me. That's the meaning that we need to see what endurance, what chastisement is. Your hand is in the Father's hand because you are the Son. No evil can befall you from this day and forevermore. There'll be some things you don't like, but who cares? This is the celebration of Rosh Hashanah, a new life. That has nothing to do with the old one. Okay.
Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from you.
Well, that's what he just said.
Or suffer my faithfulness to fail.
I won't do that either.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips.
Hallelujah.
Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred, and thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground.
How do you do that? How do you make void his crown by casting it to the ground?
Yeah, I was thinking, how can you make void something that is has nothing to do with what you do? But you make it void as far as your experience is concerned. In other words, you're not gaining any benefit from it as in your understanding.
You're walking
in blindness when you could be walking in light.
Amen. You make it void the instant that you believe something is happening to you. Then you cast down the crown. Understand?
It's like taking Christ out of your consciousness of who you are and casting it down on the ground and walking on
in
your own understanding.
Okay. Who's reading next? Jan?
broken down all his hedges, and has brought his strongholds to ruin. All that passed by the way spoiled him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. And has set up the right hand of his adversaries, and has made all his enemies to rejoice. And has also turned the edge of his sword, and has not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah.
Okay, now, do you understand how you have all done that? With that little segment. You have set up the right hand of his adversaries. You have made his enemies to rejoice. You have turned the edge of the sword. You have not made him to stand in battle. You have made his glory to cease. You have cast his throne to the ground. The days of his youth you've shortened. You've covered him with shame. So is there any one of you in here that doesn't understand that's what you've done every point of your being up till now? If you can say yes, now we can go on. If you can't, we got to stay here and argue a minute.
I don't doubt that I've done it. I don't know how.
You do it every time you think of yourself as an independent entity. You deny the resurrection.
Cover him with shame when you feel shame. Right? I mean, you
understand me? All the one lie is the lie that you're separate from the source. Every time you think of yourself as independent, then you have cast him to the ground. When you think of you, this is why this stuff gets to you. Because, you know, if I can tell you, well, you should do this. But when I say to you that every time you think of yourself as an independent entity, that's all you've done. You wouldn't do that anymore. Okay? 46.
How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall I burn like fire? Remember how short my time is.
Yeah. It's getting shorter.
Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?
He's talking about the time.
What man is that he little and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people.
Go ahead, finish it.
Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith have they reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, now Psalm 98. Now remember the whole goal of this whole idea is in your understanding. As you say, okay, I don't like the old year anymore. I don't like any part of that old stuff. You know, that's why they get the idea for New Year where they have the old man, bring a little baby in as the New Year. Well, you know, in a way that's true. The baby is the Christ. Now all you have to say is, I don't like all that crap that happened. I don't like my way of life in the old year. I don't like this continual self. When that takes place, then you can begin something new. All right, Patty.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Now, the mystery here is, guess what? The word right hand in the Hebrew is zeruah, which is also meaning the seed. His own seed, his own sperm, has gotten him the victory. He doesn't need to worry about you doing things right or wrong anymore. His own sperm has gotten him the victory. Now, if you take nothing else away from the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things, for his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The seed has gotten him the victory. All right.
The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Amen.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a song. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills rejoice together. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity.
Amen. Now the morning psalm we're going to wait and read after we eat. But I want to go to a couple places. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51. If you're not there, don't worry about it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. If you're not there, just forget it. Just listen. Just listen, please. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the last shofar. Again, the last time the trumpet is blown on the feast of Rosh Hashanah. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the work of the Lord isn't running around saving people. The work of the Lord is to believe on him who he has sent. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you is that this trump could sound. We don't know. Rosh Hashanah, by the modern Jewish calendar, was the 24th. It's the 27th today. But because of the vagaries of time and the vagaries of calendars and governmental changes over time, we cannot define for certain. But I know that that trump could sound any moment. And that's what I want you to look forward to. That's the only thing.
It's great.
Now, 1 Thessalonians 4. Nobody worry about going and find it. Just listen.
I can see why the exact date is lost.
Oh, right, it's good.
Nobody don't know. Nobody don't know. It's like what the world is going to be Thursday.
I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, or revelation, or coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump or trumpet or shofar of God. Now, the only shofar that we are interested in hearing is the one that's blown by Gabriel. We shall hear it. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, what I'm telling you is, this isn't some kind of heavenly yo-yo that modern religion teaches. I'm telling you that this is the purpose of your existence. You have been born as every other person on the face of the earth since the beginning of time, for one purpose, and that is to be transfigured, so that time and space would lose their hold on you. That can't happen until you know what everything else isn't, or everything else is. Do you ever think about families? There's this great piece today in the paper about families and the change of families in the morning news. A long time ago, when times, you know, before convenience, families, and, well, it started out, tribes were necessary for survival. You had to be a tribe in order to survive. You understand? If you didn't gather together of common interest, of common denominator, of common blood, you couldn't have survived in the world. Then life improved, and now things got better and easier. Now you could survive if you were a family. You know, you have your wife and kids and aunts and uncles, and you could survive and be successful agriculturally, etc., in the world. Then time continued, and again, because of technology and progress, then you couldn't survive unless you were a family of, you know, husband and wife and children. Now, you can survive alone. You can make it. And so everybody's got this new idea of family. But you see how God had to make it that way? So that which was intended, i.e. the tribe, or the brethren, you would come here not because you had to survive, but because you wanted to. It's like God doesn't want you to do what He tells you to. He wants you to want what He wants without Him telling you. Well, I guarantee you He wants us to be a tribe, because that's the arena where we lay down our lives one for another, where we can see the vanity of our own individualized identities, where we can stop trying to resolve conflicts after the flesh, where you can see the joy of brotherhood and fellowship. Now, there's only one reason that you come here, and that's because you want to. Now, that's why I know we're close to hearing the sound of the last trump, because this is the first time in history that opportunity was available. Before, you had to gather together to survive. Now we gather together because we want to. That's a big difference sociologically speaking. How long till food? Okay, now, there's all kinds of stuff we're going to study, but here's the rabbi proclaims at this point. That's kind of neat stuff. Awake from your slumbers, you who have fallen asleep in life. Reflect on your deed. Remember your Creator. Be not of those who miss reality in pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things. Forsake your ways and your thoughts, which are evil. Now we can eat. Happy is the people that know the sound of the trumpet. Okay, take a break. And we'll eat and come back and do some stuff.